1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I got off the phone with John Mellencamp's publicist, John Mellencamp, the singer and songwriter. And Mr. Mellencamp wrote on his website that he was, you know, disappointed with America's action in Iraq, and he was tired of people who are critical of the Iraq action being labeled anti-American and unpatriotic. He talked about the political hijacking of Iraq, the misadventure, the globe's leading bully is what he called the United States. He called the U.S. arrogant and thoughtless, and a lot of other things said by John Mellencamp, singer-songwriter. Now, before I say the essential point I want to say, people ask me, you know, I hear you laying Phil into celebrities for speaking their mind. Don't you speak your mind? I said, well, thank you for considering me a celebrity. That's number one. Number two, yes, I do. Within the medium of my expression, within the primary medium of my expression, which is broadcasting and doing a radio show, satire and commentary. This is what I get out of bed in the morning to go to do, to make the money for, to bring to my wife to buy the rug and the fur coat. This is my art. John Mellencamp's art is his music. Unless, of course, somebody wants to tell me now that John Mellencamp is a renowned public speaker or thinker. I haven't seen any books of philosophy published by him. Are you asking me now to accept him as not just a singer, but John Mellencamp, the renowned political scientist? Is this what we're being asked to accept? Because there comes a time when a man or a woman strays from their primary métier and becomes something a little bit different, and that's when you say to them, well, you know what, when you sing those songs, I really, I got my toe a-tapping, and I want to get up and dance to the fiddle music, John, but when you start talking about Iraq, you sound stupid, you look a little stupid, and I think I'm going to say something about it, because a guy called my show, I don't know, months ago, he says, you know, you make fun of Martin Sheen, you say it. Martin Sheen's an actor. You understand? So that means he acts in movies. Now, am I saying he doesn't have the right to speak his mind? No. But don't I have the right to say something about it? Here's what the problem is with our fine celebrity friends. They're all marvelous people, but they're so used to having their asses licked that when they get outside of the scope of their art and their primary mode of communication, and they begin to speak just as citizens, they don't sound too artistic. They don't sound very, they're not that articulate. John Mellencamp is a profoundly articulate man within the body of his art, which is his music. Martin Sheen is a profoundly articulate man within the body of his art, which is acting. And he may be expressing anti-war views as a singer in Mellencamp's case or as an actor in Sheen's case, and I may disagree with them, but then my critique will take the form of art critique, wouldn't it? And I may disagree with the message, but I'm never going to disagree with the eloquence of the man. I'm not qualified, and I can do one of two things. I can either buy the guy's album or not. I can watch his movie or not. But when these guys start imagining themselves to be spokespeople, this is when I just got to bust a gut. Man, that's a knee slapper, when you cats start talking about yourselves as spokespeople. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Janice, you printed this off. I didn't see the tail end of it. But I actually think, and it's almost like I want to kind of put my hand over my eyes and then open up the fingers a little bit. Yep, there it is. I think he actually said he's a spokesperson for people who... No, it wasn't him. It was another dumbbell. Who was that? Brad Pitt? George Clooney, that nut. Yeah, there. I knew it was one idiot or another. Yeah, it was Clooney who said he's a spokesman. So I then have the right to comment. Now, I called up John's, I say John with all due respect, I hope you don't mind, John. We talked to his publicist, very nice guy. He says, you know what, Phil, John said what he said, he doesn't want to discuss it. I said, well, what I'm hoping for here is that Mr. Mellencamp will afford himself an opportunity that I'm providing him, which is he can separate himself from the rank and file of celebrities, and he can actually back up what he's saying. In other words, not just this hit-and-run commentary, but actually say something and engage in dialogue. Well, you know, John's a folk singer. I said, well, this is what I'm talking about. He's just like the Barbara Streisands of the world, the George Clooney's of the world, and every other knucklehead celebrity who says something really dumb, and then everyone kisses their ass, and then they're off to their next movie, song, or party. I said, all I'm trying to do is... You know, I think John Mellencamp, frankly, is a fine artist. You know, his music's okay. I prefer Bob Dylan and Springsteen personally. I mean, if somebody's going to talk about the road and the American life, I'd rather them be someone, I don't know, a little more authentic. Anyway, and by that I mean original. But see, there I am. I'm critiquing John Mellencamp's music. Look, I dug that song, what do you call it? What's the one that he did? Not a little pink freaking houses. No, the one that, what's the one with, it starts out with the fiddle music. It's awesome. It's really cool. So, that's what I said to the guy. He said, no, John, I don't want to do it. I said, all right. I said, well, you know what? I hope that you'll reconsider and thank you and drop dead. He said, you too, Phil. So, that was the end of that. Now, the only problem that I've got is this. Right now, America is involved in a operation in Iraq, and those of us that support it are looked upon in a rather condescending manner as narrow-minded. I'm thinking, why does that make us narrow-minded? I think completely the opposite. I think the people that are against the war in Iraq are narrow-minded. They're the same kind of people. They never change their point of view, no matter what the issue. They're the same people that were against Panama, Vietnam, you know, the freaking Falkland Islands War, the whatever that little island, Grenada. They're just against war. In other words, there isn't any flexibility of thought. There isn't taking into account the shifting realities of contemporary times. Nothing. It's just a really rigid thought process. John Mellencamp says that they're narrow-minded, those who are in support of this war in Iraq. I think it's the most broad-minded of people who support a very bold move to answer the very real threat of terrorism, which was articulated not just by Bush, but by Bill Clinton. We knew that this was going to happen. We knew that our country was now a target, and they wanted to make America a battlefield. We had to preempt that. We had to stop it. People say that it was illegal because we went around the United Nations, and we have overthrown a legitimate government in Iraq. And I say that the United Nations was, for political reasons, attempting to forestall our move and in the process endangering our country. Then people respond with this: where are the weapons of mass destruction? The facts are these, my friends. Okay? If you find a body and you don't find the gun, you're going to tell me that guy wasn't shot, I guess, huh? Well, at least I got the bullet. Hey, man, we got all kinds of bullets. We got all kinds of plans for chemical labs. We have missiles that were found during the war that were outlawed by the United Nations. These were French-made, by the way. We have the United Nations itself, which acknowledged that Saddam Hussein sought weapons of mass destruction and a nuclear program. Don't start going back in time now and trying to change the facts and change history by saying it never happened. It happened. It was the UN itself that had inspectors in that country because they didn't believe Saddam Hussein as far as they could throw the guy. And by the way, have you missed the home movies today? Have you missed them? Oh, they're fantastic. They're showing them on TV, and I love it. I love it. These are torture films that were made by Saddam's government. They show the actual torturing of human beings under Saddam Hussein. Now, is that any of our business? No, of course not. Not according to John Mellencamp. We were hijacking his government, the legitimate government of Saddam Hussein. But just as an aside, just in case anybody cares, just in case anyone cares about the mass graves that were found, just in case anybody cares about the fact that on film, you can see with your own eyes, throwing people off of rooftops, cutting a man's fingers off. It was right there. In fact, last night I was on the air talking to a lady about the fire, and we had it on the news, and I looked up, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw a man's hand, his fingers getting chopped off, and so I was having a hard time concentrating on the phone call. They were throwing people off of rooftops. They were cutting off the top parts of people's heads, cutting off their tongues. It's all there in black and white, or actually in living color, excuse me, for the world to see. This is a government that was illegitimate. Government that was immoral. And I'll go you one better. If anyone thinks that we have no right to say that we're morally superior as a country to Iraq in terms of government, then you're just not grown up yet, okay, Sally? You just can't go to the dance. You gotta get your head out of your ass. You gotta understand that while people are created equally, some governments are not. If ever there was a guy that deserved to die slow and painful, it was Saddam Hussein. And we still can't get him. Now, if you want to know why it is the Iraqi people are in such a paralysis today, or a seeming paralysis, and it'll also tell you just how brave the ones who are on our side are, take a look at these torture films. You want to know why those people are frightened to death? Take a look at this film of this guy getting his tongue cut out. Another guy getting his fingers chopped off. Two men getting thrown off the roof of a building. One of them bravely trying to grab hold of a tree branch. Did you see that? They threw the guy off. He grabs the branch. He slips and he falls, I'd say a good three stories onto his back. The only thing Saddam Hussein deserves is one of them flamethrowers. You know that blowtorch? Right up his ass. Turn it on full bore, baby. Throw him into one of those wildfires up there. So we asked John Mellencamp to come on hoping he'd be different, but he is like every other celebrity. He's just got the mouth, and then he wants to move on to project number two. I got a question, by the way. He wrote this letter, this open letter to his fans on his website with his wife, Elaine. Do you know who she is? Is she a new wife? Find out how long he's been married to her. I got a stinking hunch she's new. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. But it seems this is sometimes these new wives that these guys get, they're all energetic and ready to really kind of motivate the guy's career. And they also want to kind of be the Yoko Ono of the whole thing, right? As if I give a crap what John Mellencamp's old lady's got to say. I barely give a crap what he's got to say. But I recognize that what he says may have some import with some people. And so I want to respond to it. Just remember, you people who were against this war in Iraq, you're the narrow-minded ones. You're the ones that are the same old, same old. You're the guys that never changed the way you think. You're still thinking like it's 1968. You're narrow-minded. You're intractable. You're inflexible. You can't see the bigger picture. You're these people, violence is wrong no matter what the cause. That is, this, you might as well commit suicide. Okay, so anyway, let me get in a plug for John Mellencamp's new album, Trouble No More, available now at Wendy's. I don't know where it is. A record store. All right, coming up on our show today, Shut the Hole Under Your Nose. Don Berman from Channel 19 News is going to join us to talk about the outstanding job that his TV station did covering the fires. Never mind the firefighters themselves. His TV station did a better job than them. And also a man by the name of Don Parsley, who needs money to move his family into a hotel because he would never be caught dead living in a shelter. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, shut the hole under your nose. Shut the hole under your nose. Shut the hole under your nose. Here's Phil Hendry. Thank you very much, Blake Barley. This is Shut the Hole Under Your Nose. And today it's all you cats that was against the war in Iraq. Shut the freaking pie hole. It's over. We're there. There ain't nothing you're going to do about it. You want to know why? Not because I said so, but because most Americans are actually in favor of it. Because most Americans actually see the benefit of being in Iraq. You know, here we are months later, and everybody that was against that war, everybody that wishes Saddam Hussein was still in power, everyone, you know, the very good buddies of Saddam, which, by the way, like I said, you got to see these tapes. They're fantastic. Cutting off tongues, cutting off the top of a guy's head. Not his whole head, the top of his head. Dig that. They scalp another guy. They, all kinds of neat stuff. Cutting off hands, cutting off fingers. It's right there in beautiful living color. And the wonderful world of Disney. They had it on the news. I was eating, you know, had myself a greasy corned beef sandwich and just watched it over and over again. That and the Zapruder film. But you see, America's too violent. Let me explain what that war was all about for the 9 millionth time. It was about neutralizing a corporation of terrorism. One of the biggest supporters, one of the largest patrons of terrorism in the world, the government of Iraq and Saddam Hussein. They had terror training camps for Ansar al-Islam. They were giving money to Hamas and Hezbollah, and they most probably had some kind of a backstairs deal with al-Qaeda through Ansar al-Islam, which is al-Qaeda's arm in northern Iraq. Saddam Hussein was a man actively seeking a much larger role in the world of weapons. It is acknowledged by the United Nations and all of the member nations of the Security Council that he was looking for nuclear weapons, he was looking for weapons of mass destruction, and in point of fact, was at the outbreak of the war in possession of weapons that he, under the terms of the armistice after the Gulf War, was not supposed to have. They were long-range missiles he wasn't supposed to have. He had them. But yeah, you're right. He wasn't looking for any weapons of mass destruction because he's a sweetheart. And he plays by the rules. The French are very good friends. The ones that we found out, you know, they say it better late than never. And with the frogs, it couldn't be truer. Better late than never to find out what a backstabbing pack of scum they actually turned out to be. Stick the knife in your back. Turn it and break it off, baby. That's what they did. They were selling that scumbag weapons all the way on up to the advent of war. And the French had their ankles deep in blood. Deep in blood. Now, just because the United States was doing business with Saddam Hussein in the 80s and in the early part of the 90s does not mean that you can't turn around and take the guy out if you think it's necessary. In other words, for everybody that wants to point to the time that we put him in power, all right. Let's say we did, which I'm not disputing. Well, guess what? We just took him out. Or does that piss you off, too? So you can't have it both ways, baby. We put him in. We took him out. We realized that it wasn't worth the price of the dance, okay? The guy, having that guy around was not worth it. The guy is a loose cannon. The guy had he had designs of his own in the region. Number two. Insofar as the protection of the American people goes, by neutralizing and eventually pacifying that country, we now have a stable government, a democratic government, and that'll be a real different change of pace for those people there, in a region of the world which foments, supports, encourages, and has high hopes for the anti-American elements within. There isn't a friendly government down there other than Israel. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Syria just had a terror summit in Damascus. Syria is giving money to Hezbollah and Hamas. Syria's up to their ass in blood, too. And if anybody needed killing like Hussein, it's that guy Assad. You know, the Israelis could really solve a lot of their problems. They just went out there and they just stuck a barrel in that guy's mouth. That would solve a lot of problems, that punk kid son of that other guy. What does that do? What it does effectively is it eliminates one more area of funding and sponsorship for terrorism. It puts the terrorists even more on the run since they have been at the time of the Afghanistan war. At the time we went to war in Afghanistan, which set them on the run, it puts them even more on the run. It makes it difficult for them to settle down, to get organized, and to do anything. It also puts a friendly government there with influence on the people. Do you understand? The people of Iraq can then maybe hear something other than some megalomaniac pounding the Quran in one hand and as you know what in the other. Maybe they get another side to the story. Maybe they'll actually get some truth. And with the truth, that so-called Arab street might turn a little bit in our favor as opposed to against us. These are all things that should be self-evident, things that you ought to be able to read if you can read a newspaper. And these are all things that will affect a level and measure of security for our country for at least the next 60, 70 years. But try to explain that to these people who see Iraq as this poor little country and Saddam Hussein had his government hijacked, like John Mellencamp, who sees himself as the second coming of Woody freaking Guthrie. Hey, look, Mellencamp, you know what? Go hop a freaking freight train before you start singing about him. Why don't you sleep in a boxcar? I have. It ain't fun, man. Although I did get from Santa Barbara to L.A. in a pretty easy way, you know, I hopped that freight train up there around the trestles at Yellama State Beach. It was pretty sweet. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Don Berman from Channel 19 on why their news coverage was even better than what the firefighters did on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Let me just conclude our Shut the Hole Under Your Nose segment.
Oh, shut the hole under your nose. Shut the hole under your nose. Shut the hole under your nose.
Sorry, we didn't. Sorry, Blake.
Ass.
Well, we went into our news break. I forgot to have you play Shut the Hole Under Your Nose reprised. All right, our number, 1-800-449-8686, although we don't have a whole lot of time to take phone calls today, because coming up in just a few minutes, Don Berman will visit us from Channel 19's News at 10, and we're going to talk to Don about the news coverage of the recent California wildfires. They've made not just national news, but international news. There have been news crews here from all over the country, and Don's going to be talking with us about how he likes the job the firefighters did, but frankly, his news team did a better job. Also, Don Parsley, a poor man who has lost his home in Cedar Glen, California. He needs to help his family, although he wouldn't dare bring them to living in a shelter. He'd like some money so they could stay at a Marriott where they have the garden view and the continental breakfast. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here at the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Ramon. Hello, Ramon.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. You know, I was listening to what you're saying, and I was for the war when it first started. And now, what worries me is that the precedents that we're setting. Now, you talking about those videos, that, you know, people's hands being cut off and et cetera, et cetera.
Did you see them?
No, I have not seen them.
Oh, you got to see these.
I mean, that's terrible. It's like, you know, how many other countries in the world is that happening in? And the precedents that we're setting is that, look, we're going to go into war. Look at all the other countries, Somalia.
Well, I'm not using that as the reason to go to war. I'm sorry. I just said as kind of an aperitif, just as dessert. Right. Take a look at what kind of government. No, that's not the reason that we went to war with Iraq.
Right. And so, I mean, the reason we went to war is weapons of mass destruction. And then he was also, he broke the treaty, it was 1492.
Yeah, 1492, right, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. What do you mean 1492? What treaty? Oh, you mean the weapons of mass destruction an order implemented, or an order from the United Nations, from the coalition forces to Saddam Hussein to get rid of these weapons, and that would be verified through inspections. And his behavior has been more than suspicious, pitching these inspectors out. The United Nations knowing that at the time that they were pitched out, he was looking for nuclear, was looking to begin a nuclear program. So, is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I just don't like that we're going to a country that, and really, we have not found any evidence that he actually broke any laws, that he broke any of the agreements after the first Gulf War.
Well, here's the thing. The evidence is what? What would be evidence for you? Would it be a actual cache of big weapons of mass, with a big sign that says, "Here lie the weapons of mass destruction"? There are a lot of clues. I just mentioned to you, now, weapons of mass destruction, let's put that aside for a second. This guy is a violator of international law. I mentioned to you, and nobody really wants to talk about it, at the outset of the war with Iraq, the man was in possession of long-range missiles that were proscribed by the United Nations. He was not allowed to have these. He had them. They had a range of somewhere in the neighborhood of 600, 700 miles. He's not supposed to have a Scud missile with a range longer than 150 miles. He had these. They were sold to him by the French. And they were of recent arrival. Now, let me ask you a question as a reasonable man, Ramon.
Okay.
You try to tell me, well, okay, he broke the law there, but he wouldn't dare go over the weapons of mass destruction speed bump? I mean, they say when there's smoke, there's freaking fire, my friend.
Right.
And
go ahead,
man.
No, well, I was just trying to think, what worries me is that we're becoming the world's policemen, and it scares
becoming.
Me that we're losing young. I mean, what good have we actually really done there?
We've been the world's policemen, and we've done a lot of good. We got rid of the biggest weapon of mass destruction, a guy by the name of Saddam Hussein.
Right,
we've got the Iraqi people.
Really, have we done anything? I mean, when we leave that area,
what would you like us to do, and how long do you think it ought to take?
Excuse me, sorry?
What would you like us to do, and how long do you think it ought to take?
Well, I mean, what we were doing in the first place when we had base in Saudi Arabia. I really don't know if we can go out and just change world leaders
We can change world leaders. We can change world leaders when they are active in their sponsorship of an international scourge of the last 60 years called terrorism. And people want to fight this war the way we fight traditional wars. We want to see memos. We want to see phone logs. We want to have verifiable. The terrorists don't work that way, my friend. And this is a war in which we have to go into some pretty seedy rat holes and smoke them out. There isn't anybody in the intelligence community of any country in the world that has any doubt that Saddam Hussein was trafficking with these people. Whether we got actual phone logs between him and Osama bin Laden, in my opinion, is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is he was giving money to suicide bombers. He was he was harboring Ansar al-Islam, which is an al-Qaeda offshoot. The guy was actively supporting, propaganda-wise and with material support, terrorists. And our country was attacked, 3,000 of our people murdered by a terrorist organization. So you know what? I think what President Bush did is he pushed the issue. I think it was gutsy. And like I said, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. Right. I take things individually. This guy pushed the issue and said, all right, enough's enough. We got to go to the rat's nest where these guys live, and we got to blow them out of their freaking hole. And that's what we've started doing. Thank you. Roger, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how are you? You know, you made the comment you weren't a Democrat or a Republican. Well, I'll stand up and say I'm a Republican, but I'll vote for Hillary before I vote for this guy again.
Good for you.
We've got no business over there.
Really? Why?
It's not our business.
Why?
Because you can't. We haven't found one single weapon of mass destruction.
Oh, I see. What does a weapon of mass destruction look like? Go ahead. Tell me. Tell me what a weapon of mass destruction looks like. Are you taking somebody's word for this?
Yeah, I'm taking the news word.
Oh, the news? Well, you mean the news media that we sometimes trust and we sometimes don't? That news media?
Sure.
Oh, I see. And today, you want to trust them, huh?
Well, do I trust them? Yeah, I trust them because I think if we have found one single piece of evidence.
What is one single piece of evidence? What's one single piece of evidence?
Whatever the Bush administration wants it to be.
All right. I just said to the last guy at the beginning of the war with Iraq. The guy was in possession of missiles that he was not supposed to have by terms of the armistice of 1991 and what the United Nations told him to get rid of. He was in possession of long-range missiles. But that's not good enough for you. What do you need?
No, that's not good enough for me.
No, I know. What do you need? You need nuclear bombs? What do you want?
That would be nice. Maybe a little ryosin. That'd be nice, too. But
they probably found that ryosin. You can find ryosin anywhere. We got ryosin. He's probably got tons of ryosin. Is that all you need?
Anything. And the other,
yes, they have. They have found construction equipment for chemical labs. They have found shell casings. Yes, they have. But they're never, ever, ever going to find enough.
All that in court is called.
They're never, ever, ever going to find enough for certain people. Certain people are always going to say it's not enough.
Afghanistan, I agree with. I think we should have gone over there.
Why? What right do we have to change their government?
Well, no, we were after one particular person.
Well, why did we change their government?
What
right did we have? We didn't have any right to change their government. We're after just one guy.
We don't have.
Well, then why did you agree with that?
I agreed with the reason we went.
Oh, but you don't agree how we did the job. You thought we screwed the job up over there too, huh?
Yeah, kind of.
I think. All right, see you later, trucker. Make sure you deliver all of them Piggly Wigglies, dude. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, look at this. The Nazi flag flies over Mississippi yet again. Let me just say this about the Confederate flag so that we have no mistake whatsoever, man. If I'd had a belly full of, say, oh, what's good, Chris? What do you like? What do you like, Mark? What's that stuff you brought to my house to drink? Maker's Mark. Say you and I had done about 16 shots of Maker's Mark and I really needed to go. I think a nice floor of Confederate flags would be the perfect place for me to relieve my bladder. Just to tap a couple of kidneys. I'd spell my name on the Confederate flag. You understand what I'm saying? I hope you guys know what I'm saying. If this Confederate flag thing never is back in the news, it'll be too soon for me. Now they're fighting over it in Mississippi. Folks, just a suggestion, and I don't want to really hit this one too hard. If ever there was a group of people that shouldn't be openly battling about whether the Confederate flag is good or not, it's the people in freaking Mississippi. Don't you remember? They're sticking freaking civil rights workers in the ground over there. They got guys with hoods riding all over that place about 40, 50 years ago. Why don't you cats get out on the leading edge of civilization instead of constantly wiping up its rear? Why don't you get out there on the edge? Did you ever see that movie, The Insider, with Al Pacino? You know, it was the Mississippi Attorney General that brought those lawsuits against the cigarette companies. Very progressive look at Mississippi. Guy had a nice house there on the Gulf Coast. Now they're fighting about that Confederate flag. Again, they're fighting. I'm so sick of it. And look who's supporting it. It's a Republican cat running for governor. You guys really know which side of the you really know which side of the issue to take, don't you? The Republicans supporting the Nazi flag again. No difference between that thing and the. Look, you know, I was in such a good mood when I got to work today. How come I'm feeling so pissed off? Oh, I know. It's because of that Cougar Mellencamp publicist, that guy. Here, I want to hear this one more time.
Oh, shut the hole under your nose.
There. That feels really good. We got Don Berman coming up. Don is the anchor at News at 10 on Channel 19. Don Parsley will be with us. By the way, they're going to build a new baseball stadium in Miami. They're looking to get money for a new baseball stadium for the Marlins because they won the World Series, you know. And meanwhile, the kids in Broward County are still eating out of garbage cans there in the school system. You teachers and you school administrators up there in Broward County, how do you feel about that new Marlins stadium? How do you think they'll give you some box seats? Maybe they'll have a front row? You people at the Marlin organization, where do you get your balls? Where did you get your balls? To ask the people of Miami to build you a baseball stadium. You won the World Series? No one cares. Do you understand? Outside of Miami, nobody even knows you guys exist. And meanwhile, in Broward County, the kids are going to school in cardboard boxes. And they're eating slop for lunch. And they're drinking out of toilets for something to drink. But let's get that ballpark for the Marlins. What are you going to do? You're going to get another restaurant tax going? Are you going to get another tourist tax going? Are you going to stick a gun in the ribs of tourists? Are you going to stick a gun in the ribs of the hotels? Who gets the gun this time? Who's going to have the gun in their back? And guess what they'll do? They'll agree to a new name if they'll build them a new stadium. If they'll build them a new stadium. Yeah, we got to have a new stadium, man. They'll change the name to the Miami Marlins. Calling the team the Miami Marlins was discussed a few years ago when former owner John Henry was negotiating for a new baseball facility. No specific site location has been discussed for the proposed ballpark. How about out in the middle of the Atlantic someplace? One possibility is near the Orange Bowl, where the traffic could get even worse. Right down there in Little Havana, and you wouldn't be able to get out of there for love or money until 3 a.m. That's a great idea. Because it's right downtown, man, right in the middle of the population center. Don't you know? The Marlins have agreed to pay $137 million toward a new stadium. Jesus, what a... You guys are nice. A whole $137 million? You agreed to? How about if we tell you got to pay the whole tab? What do you think about that? I just want to know, what would you say? Miami Marlins, hi, my name's Phil Henry, I'm the new head of the whole thing here. What does that mean? I'm God, as far as you're concerned. Okay. You want a ballpark, huh? Yeah, well, go ahead, build one. And we'll let you do it for $800 million. We want a retractable roof, we want to have free seating for the kids that are handicapped, and some of these school kids that you're robbing money from. And let's see, what else do we want? Some of those cats that got their tongues cut off in that Saddam tape, we want box seats for them. In fact, we'd like season tickets for Saddam if that'll get him the hell out of Iraq. Are you kidding? You're actually asking us to build it with our own money? Yeah, isn't that a shock of shocks? I think I'm going to go to the bank and I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to let you guys build me a house, but you have to pay for it. Okay? How about if you could do that with a house? I am newly married. This is my wife. Yeah, listen, I've been going bank to bank. I understand that, sir. I'm sure it's quite a choice. Yes, it is. It really is. But we've settled on you, Bank of America, and what we've decided is we'd like you to build us a house, but it doesn't have to be worth more than, say, $1.2 million. All right? Thank you very much. And we'll come back after lunch for the papers. What do you think this is? Aren't you the guys that helped finance that new ballpark? Yeah. Well, you're going to build me a house. I'll hold the price at $1 million. How about that? But I'd like a pool. I'd like to have a retractable roof and box seats when I'm watching DirecTV on Sunday. Anyway, so that's what's going on in Miami. In other words, nothing. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our email address, by the way, is phs@philhenryshow.com. And that's phs@philhenryshow.com. And we sometimes will read emails on the air. And it's a lot of fun, and we hope you enjoy it. And what is this thing? Somebody is flying a flag of the Iroquois Confederacy. You know, doing a talk show is like, there's these little fires. I suppose it's like being a firefighter, or it's like being a fire starter, one of the two. But there's all these little things going on in the country or the world, and then you take it and you try to make it into something to be interesting. See, not everything is interesting. Not everything in the news that one person thinks is interesting is going to be interesting to somebody else. Like, here's a little tiny story out of Lafayette, New York. Some students at a junior high raised the Iroquois flag, which is an Indian tribe, right? And then a bunch of the white parents, they got upset because why do Indians get to have a flag and we don't, you know? And I said to Janice, you take that story and throw it in a freaking crapper. Why do I want to talk about that? And then I remembered that I grew up in a culture like this. Oh, I didn't print it yet, Janice. I'm printing it now. I grew up in a culture like this, which basically said, you're Irish-American, you're German-American, you're Welsh-American, you're African-American, you're this American, and that American, right? I mean, I had to put up with that all of my life. Hungarian-American, going down to the little dance festivals. Irish-American, watching them get drunk and fall down on St. Patrick's Day. And if I'm, you know, stereotyping Irish people, well, that's too bad. And black Americans, all them watermelon festivals, and all that stuff. So how come you can't be an Indian American? How come all of a sudden when those guys wave their flag, it pisses everybody off? Cuban Americans, Puerto Rican Americans, Spanish American, Italian, oh my God, the Italian Americans, they can't go a day without reminding you who they are. Every day we're reminded that we got Italian Americans. Good for you. And the Irish are only second more boring on that list. Irish Americans, because it's St. Patrick's Day. There's 2 days, Columbus Day and St. Patrick's Day, where we can't avoid the reality that we have Irish and Italians in this country because they run around tapping us on the shoulder and reminding us. Anyway, that's spoken as an Irish American. I'm Phil Henry. Okay, here's Francis. Francis?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I agree with you regarding Saddam Hussein, that he was a bad guy.
Oh, thanks.
But you have to hate him for the right reasons, not to add some facts like you just did.
What did I add?
Okay, first of all, the missiles that you're talking about, regarding the missiles that he had from the French.
Yeah.
The last time they were shipped was in 1986.
No, they were made this year.
No, they were wrong. If you go on the internet and you check, it was actually...
Well, this is as of today. This is October the 3rd.
They found it today again?
Yeah. They were made this year. These missiles were made this year. They're Roland-type missiles.
Okay, Roland was... The last time it was produced was 1993.
Are you a missile manufacturer? Are you in the business?
Sir?
Are you in the business of armaments?
Yes, I am, actually. I read about it just like you do.
But you're not in the business.
Not as like you, but maybe at least. I have the same qualification as you, which is I go on the internet and
Well, you have the same qualification as me. I feel sorry for you. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Just talking to Don Berman from Channel 19's News at 10. Don, news anchor there along with Leslie Mitchell. And Don, what a week it's been for the news gathering agencies across the country focusing on this fire.
You know, it has been nothing short of record-breaking in so many different ways. It has been my great pleasure to be a part of a news team. Our Channel 19 News at 10, which was on top of this story from the very, very beginning. And I do want to single out Frank Aspen, Leslie Mitchell, who is my co-anchor, Donna DeCruz, everyone on our Up With People segment. We did a great job, and we were rewarded in the overnights in the Los Angeles area in what is called the ADI, which is the General Survey Area.
Okay.
We were number one in our time slot last night. And I think the reason why is that we bring the story to people. And I want to say as well that we were able to bring a little bit of the story to the firefighters.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about what you guys saw on the ground, the firefighters, the heat, the fatigue, the feelings of frustration at times that you guys saw and captured.
Well, Phil, it was compelling. It was a dramatic story. But if you think about it, you never would have known, and I was talking to two of our news directors earlier this morning, you never would have known what the firemen were doing. You never would have been able to see these wonderfully dramatic pictures of the firefighters battling these blazes were it not for our news crews and our reporters. And many of our reporters were in danger. At one point, I don't know whether you saw it, but Frank Aspen was dangerously close to a hillside fire near the 173, which is the cutoff toward Lake Arrowhead. And I even found myself quietly saying to the television screen, Frank, just get out of there. Cut it short and get out of there. But he hung in there and brought back a report that I think was as good as anything I have seen in network television.
What about the firefighters? Let's talk about the bravery of these men and these women. And I was thinking last night as I was driving home, when you think about these guys, it's almost like these are giants walking among us. And the poor man who gave his life yesterday.
Well, I think the firefighters did an outstanding job. The effort was absolutely valiant. But what's missing here is an appreciation, I think, for what our crews did. The news crews, working through the night, our chopper pilots were bringing back great shots of the fires. And I have some videotape on our coverage that I know is going to... I don't want to talk about an Emmy right now because it doesn't seem the time or the place, but I think it will bring us an Emmy. It is a tape of a man running away from a burning truck, and you are absolutely mesmerized. Roy Clifton, our chopper cameraman, I'm very, very proud of our crew and what they were able to do. Again, when you talk about the firefighters, you can't separate them from the outstanding job that our News at 10 camera people did, because you wouldn't know anything about the firefighters were it not for the great work of Roy Clifton, Jamie Ferez, and some of our Channel 19 News at 10 camera people.
But the firefighters, see, we're talking about the firefighters, okay? And
The firefighters, again, they did a great, but if you say they did a great job, you found out about it watching Channel 19. And this is the primary, I think, word of mouth.
But we don't want to minimize the work they did.
No, not at all. No, the firefighters will forever be heroes, I think, to all of us. And why are they heroes? Because our news crew, the Channel 19 News at 10 crew, was able to bring the story of the firefighters back to you at home. The same holds true with a hurricane, a tornado, any natural disaster, these great floods we've had. You wouldn't know anything about the great heroes that are working those disasters if it wasn't for the television coverage. And you have to say we did as good a job, if not a better job, in bringing that story. Please don't misunderstand me. The firefighters were good, but we've heard about them, and there's almost like a little bit of overkill on how great the firefighters are. I know what you're saying, Phil. They are like giants.
Well, I don't think you can overstate it.
I'm sorry?
I don't think you can overstate how great, how brave these men are.
Well, it does get to be a little bit of overkill. It does get...
But I just think that, I mean, one of them gave his life.
But it does get to be a little bit of overkill. I'm just trying to educate you. You start to, you go on and on about it. Frank Aspen, you saw Chuck Henry, which I personally don't believe that actually happened. I really think that Channel 4's Chuck Henry was more of a professional than to phony up a scene like that.
You think Chuck Henry phonied up almost dying in a fire?
I at this particular point, yes, I do. I think it was a ratings ploy. Yes, I do.
Wow. All right, hold on for a minute. We're talking to Don Berman. He is the primary anchor News at 10 on Channel 19. He, along with Leslie Mitchell, were covering the fire. Many, many news agencies from across America, across the world, covering the Southern California wildfires. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show. You know, we're discussing about the firefighters. And you said something that is interesting. You said we wouldn't know how brave they were it not for the news crews.
Well, I think that has to be said. In other words, what we did is we brought the story.
But then you followed it up by saying the firefighters were good, but you guys were better?
No. What I said was this. I think all the firefighters who do their work are good. But if we were all in the same competition, newsmen, firefighters, police officers, rescue workers, shelter workers, I would have to give the edge to our Channel 19 News at 10 team, because what we did was...
How can you say that? I mean, you're talking about people...
Well, what, Phil, but what we did, the way we covered this fire, the way that we risked our lives, we're reporters, we're not supposed to risk our lives. We risked our lives. We got in and got those shots.
Well, you're talking about Frank Aspen, who almost died on a fire in that hill. Look, he was about 20 feet away from that thing.
Well, you know, Phil, don't minimize what Frank did. Please don't do that.
But I saw it. It was 20 miles.
No, don't. You know, don't make me angry. Honest to God, what I think what he did...
Well, are you saying that standing 20 feet away from a little patch fire...
It was not a patch fire. This was incredible bravery. And all I've been doing is hearing you people in the media talking about how great the firefighters were. Yes, they were good. All right, can we move on? It has been 3 days nonstop. And what we are saying at Channel 19 is this. Our news crew showed incredible courage and dedication in helping Southern California deal with this horrible wildfire. And we here at Channel 19, our news at 5, 6, and 10, just want to say you're welcome. Because we haven't heard thank you, but we are going to say you're welcome.
All right. I'm talking with Don Berman, our number 1-800-449-8686. The news crews did a better job than the firefighters.
On average, what I'm saying is this. In any given disaster, most of the time, if you were to look at the work of the rescue workers, if you were to look at the work of the firefighters, and then you look at the work of the news crews covering it, most of the time, the news crews are doing a better job. And in our case, we did, Phil, you know how many firefighters there are?
But to say that you did a better job than the fire...
Do you know how many firefighters there are?
Well, there's thousands.
All right. And how many news anchors do you think there are?
There's not that many.
That's my point. We are doing the same job with 1/16th the number of people. But the firefighters are good. But Donna Cruz was reporting on a shack fire near Stony Mountain. She could have been burned alive before our eyes. And we were able also to point out the hot spots and show the firefighters what to do. Otherwise, they're sitting in a fire station. They don't know where the fire is, but they turn on Channel 19 News. They see there. There's the fire, because they can see that our Channel 19 News at 10 chopper with Roy Clifton and Donna DeCruz has zeroed in on the fire, and then they can get up from whatever they're doing, whether they're eating lunch or relaxing, get into the fire truck and go to where the fire is. Otherwise, they're working blind. Firefighters don't know where the fire is unless they have some orientation. And I think what you're going to see come any time, you're going to see who the heroes are. There aren't many people... Look, where are the people coming out of their houses bringing lemonade for Donna DeCruz? Where were the people coming out and bringing coffee and donuts for Donna DeCruz? She doesn't want that. But come any time, I think we're going to be stepping up to the plate.
All right, Don Berman with us from Channel 19 News at 10, 1-800-449-8686. The fire crews are alerted to where a fire is by the alarm that is sent into the firehouse and by the coordinates given them by the reporting agency, whether it's another firehouse or the sheriff.
Yeah, that is exactly correct, but they don't know the intensity of that fire unless they see it on television. I had many firemen saying we never would have even found our way here were it not for the fact that we wouldn't even have known there was a fire if we hadn't had the TV on the Channel 19 News at 10. And without our helicopter shots, the firefighters would still be looking for the fire. Right now, I'm told that a lot of these guys didn't know where Lake Arrowhead was.
Oh, no, wait a minute, man. Are you saying that they couldn't find Lake Arrowhead unless they had...
A lot of the younger firefighters that were driving some of the trucks were not sure, and they had on Channel 19, and they saw the fire, and they recognized some landmarks. They saw one of the... a store or something, and he said, I know where that is, that's Lake Arrowhead, and they went there. We at Channel 19 gave some people their first look at what a firefighter really does. And we at Channel 19, Phil, our news at 5, 6, and 10, gave the American people their first look at what a firefighter does. And some firefighters had their first look at what they do. If they could see themselves, they would probably work a little bit harder.
But we do not want to leave the impression that our firefighters were not working hard.
I am not saying that at all, Phil. They did wonderful work. I'm saying, though, that Channel 19, I think, was just a cut above everything and everybody else.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The media and the coverage of disasters. We had a lot of local media. We had a lot of national media. We had international media. That's Don Berman, who's the news director and lead anchor at Channel 19. And he says that while the firefighters did a great job, Channel 19's News at 10 did a better job, and that a lot of these guys would never have found their way to the fire were they not watching it on television. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry here with Don Berman, a news anchor at Channel 19. And Don, I wanted to stop down. The entire Channel 19 news team is going to be making an appearance this weekend at the Pomona Mall. Is that correct?
That is correct, Phil. And we will be there if anyone wants to come by and get an autograph. We've had an awful lot of... we've done just some great work. We know that people are going to want to come by and meet us. So we'll be at the Pomona Mall. We'll be there from 10 a.m. until noon, and we'd like to see as many people as possible, and especially after having a week like we had, which was just astounding.
Now, we're going to go to some calls. You made a reference, and for people who don't know, a local newscaster by the name of Chuck Henry was doing a report from the scene, I believe, of the Arrowhead or near the the Crestline fire, and was suddenly cut off, he and his cameraman. And they were rescued by a couple of firefighters, and on tape we see their mobile truck burning up. And Mr. Henry was visibly shaken and emotional when he came on TV later to talk about the rescue by the firefighters. Are you saying now that you believe that to have been faked for publicity reasons?
Phil, that is exactly what I believe, yes.
You realize what a charge that is?
I understand what that is, but let me tell you something. I've been in this business a long time. Channel 19 has been creeping up on the competition for a long time.
Wait. Are you saying that Chuck Henry faked that?
I'm saying that Channel 4, along with Channel 2 and the rest of them, have been shaking in their boots because we have made great strides on news at 5, 6, and 10. And when we added Donna DeCruz in the Up With People segment, that pushed us over the top. They're running scared, and they know it.
Chuck Henry faked that.
Phil, that's really all I want to say about it. Our own Leslie Mitchell. Now, that's a lady who risked her life. She was standing in front of a burning home and was waving down a fire truck. And so that's what I'm saying.
She was standing in front of a burning home and waved down a fire truck.
That is correct.
All right, 1-800-449.
What, is that something wrong with that? Or?
No, there's nothing wrong with it, man. But when we're talking about Chuck Henry almost dying...
I'm telling you, Phil, believe me, he faked it. He faked it, he faked it, he faked it.
Well, I don't believe he did.
Well, I do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Berman.
Hey, Phil. I'm glad to hear talk to you. I'm a retired firefighter for about 30 years, and this news anchor, what he ought to do is put some fire crews on, go out with the fire crews, and see what they're doing. They've been out there for 3, 4, 5 days, not eating, not sleeping, saving lives, saving property, and he has no idea what he's talking about.
No, I tell you, we've got some great video footage, Jim, of those men doing their job, and we are
but
sharing
video footage is not putting the fires out, is not risking your life. If it gets too hot for you, you can pick up and leave. They can't do that. They got to stay there and risk their life day after day after day to put these fires out.
You can go home
and take a shower and get something to eat and say, well, I'll be back later. They can't do that.
I will tell you this, Jim. Donna DeCruz, who runs our Up With People segment, was holding one of the hoses. She was. They showed her how the hose is retracted back into the truck. It is automatic. She pushed the button that retracted the hose. There's a lot more to this than meets the eye. And if it hadn't been for... And let me ask you this, Jim. Would you know they were heroes if you didn't see it on TV? That's the point we're making.
What's your point again?
You better answer that phone.
Your point again?
The point is, would you know these people were heroes if you didn't see them being heroes? That's what Channel 19 News at 10 and 5, 6, and 10 does.
Well, no, I think everybody in the United States knows what kind of heroes the firefighters are after 9/11. And what you were showing them is, you know, anybody can show that. It's not Channel 19.
But what
and
about,
everybody in the country knows what they've been doing.
Well, what about Donna DeCruz?
Well, I think that was all staged just for television. She didn't need to be there.
She helped retract the hoses.
Helping retracting the hose and getting out there and fighting the fire and putting your life on the line where you can't walk away from it, you have to stay there, is a different story.
That's a good point, Jim. You said you're a reserve fireman, Jim?
No, I'm a retired firefighter.
I'm sorry, retired firefighter?
Well, let me say this to both of you gentlemen. For the longest time, and I mean for the longest time, most people thought that all the fire department did was help get cats out of trees. Thanks to Channel 19 News and our 5, 6, and 10 Up With People segments, they now know. I'm sorry?
No, people, you know, when you say getting cats out of tree, you know, that's, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Right now, what the firefighters do today are much more important than what they have ever done. Most firefighters are paramedics.
Well, can I tell you, Jim? Yes. Can I tell you, Jim, those yellow media jackets that our reporters were wearing, and I don't know if you saw those, and Phil, if you go to my website, you'll see them, they raised the body temperature at least 10 degrees.
Well, yeah, but you know what? When I was a firefighter and had total gear on, all my gear, my bunker pants, my bunker coat, my helmet, my tank, everything else that I needed to do my job was another 75 pounds.
But see, there you go again, blowing your own horn.
No, I'm not blowing my horn. I am just saying that for us to do our job, we had to carry an extra 75 pounds
don't
of
you
equipment.
Have, you have fans in the trucks, though, don't you?
We don't have what?
Don't you have fans in the trucks? See, what we're trying to do is keep the firefighter from continually talking about himself, because that's all you ever...
No, wait a minute. What do you mean blowing his own horn? The man is...
I'm not tooting my own
horn.
Well, I'm just saying...
We did this and we did that.
No, right. I'm just trying to... You're not educated enough
exactly.
to know what firefighters
okay.
do.
Okay, Jim, I got to run, but I thank you because you were very articulate. 1-800-449-8686. Go to Harold. Harold, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to express my discontent for this guy's attitude towards firefighters. I understand that his work is important, just as everybody else is, but they can't catch a fear of a firefighter putting a fire out or the heat that they feel in those clothes. And I know they're heavy because I tried them on before. But I think this guy should go over there and try him on and fight a fire instead of holding a camera.
What about the media jackets we wear?
Listen, man, you have very, very strong lenses. You don't have to stand close to a fire to catch all the things that you do. But a firefighter, they don't have that option.
Well,
they have to go in there. And I wonder if you lived in California, if you feel that way.
Well,
you do.
Harold, all I'm saying is you have to understand something, that if we weren't there capturing the video of those firefighters, everyone would think that firefighters just play checkers. You see? Harold?
I think anybody who's intelligent would understand that these
right.
people train every day, day and night.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Don Berman from Channel 19 News, the Channel 19 News at 10. What is this tribute to the heroes again, Don?
Phil, tribute to the heroes will be at the Pomona Mall, and it'll be after we sign autographs. And this is a way to showcase the people that really made the difference in these California wildfires. And yes, it does include our Channel 19 News at 10 as well as the Up With People segment.
I'm looking at that. Donna DeCruz is carried in on a chair, supported by four guys from Chippendales dressed in fire hats.
They are dressed in fire engine hats, yes. These are dancers, professional dancers. Then I come in on a chair, then Leslie Mitchell. And then we bring in some selected firefighters from different fire agencies, and we'll talk with them. And then we'll give out more autographs. Because the reason why you asked that question, I sense that you don't approve or that it...
Well, I got to tell you something, Don, with all due respect. Having your news team brought out on chairs carried by men dressed as firefighters, it basically says the firefighters are the supporting cast for...
No, that is not true.
No, well, I mean, you're saying that. You say you guys... And what, you guys are giving out autographs.
We're giving autographs, yes.
Okay, let me tell you why I asked that.
Please.
Well, at this particular time, after the worst disaster in California history, why does anybody want to go and get your autograph?
Well, again, Phil, you don't understand. We did the job. I am not denigrating what the firefighters did one bit. But understand, let's talk turkey. We did the job. And the firefighters... Oh, people only know about them because of our cameras. Now, people are going to want our autographs, and we're going to go out there and give them to people, whether you like it or not, or anybody else. And we've got some great Goldie Showers, our meteorologist, who worked tirelessly telling the firefighters which way the smoke was drifting. Goldie was actually at the scene of many fires, pointing at the trees and things and showing them the dry ones, because the firefighters, they need to know which trees are going to burn and which ones aren't. And he would point these things out. So many people on our Channel 19 News at 10, as well as 5, 6, and our Action Up With People team donated to this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bob, go ahead. Bob?
Yes?
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd just like to tell Mr. Vorman that he's talking about the firemen, right? Explaining about what they do, and each time one comes on, like the retired gentleman, saying what kind of work they do, he says, oh, well, you're tooting your own horn again. Well, that's all he's been doing for the last 30 minutes or so, and now he's bragging about how he's going to come out and give autographs and which way the wind's drifting the smoke. Well, I think it's drifting it up his head there, and he's getting a little bit high.
Well, Bob, I appreciate your sense of humor. All I'm trying to say is we've been hearing so much about what firefighters do, and they do this and they do that. Let's talk about who did the real job. I'm not saying they did a bad job. I'm saying Channel 19's News at 10 did a better job. And again, we were there with the cameras. Donna DeCruz, I told you, she got to drive one of the fire trucks. There's a lot of things that go into it.
Well, yeah, that's it. That's great because, you know, God, what would we have done if the news crews hadn't been out there? We'd have probably lost instead of 800,000, maybe a million acres now.
Well, I don't know. Our tribute to heroes will give the firefighters a chance to give us a plaque saying thank you, Channel 19. For
yeah, and the next thing you're going to be saying is you're going to be charging for your autographs next.
I, you know what, Phil?
Well, the man is being facetious because he thinks that you are doing exactly what you said.
I know what the man's saying. He's saying that I'm blowing my own horn. Isn't that what you're saying, sir?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, sir, how are you figuring I'm blowing my own horn? All I've ever heard are these firefighters blowing their horn.
It's pretty evident that if nothing's going to be said to get through to you.
Well, sir...
So have a good day.
All right, sir, you have a very good day. This is John Berman, Channel 19 News.
You don't have to lock it out.
Well, I didn't know whether you were going into a segment.
No, we're not going into a break. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Linda. Linda, go ahead.
Oh, man, Guy, I cannot believe you.
Ma'am, I am saying what needs to be said.
No, wait a minute.
The Channel 19 News
at
10, Donna
DeCruz... Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
If you are a true professional... In all professionalism as a journalist, you are the voice of the people, and the least you could do as the voice of the people and me talking is hear what I have to say.
Don't you think I could say it better?
All night.
Don't you think I could say it better than you're saying?
No, I think you need to let people say what they need to say, how they're feeling from their mouths, not your perspective.
But I know how you're feeling.
No, you don't. You remember the picture of the fireman carrying the little girl during 911? It was a tragic incident. True? Yes. It was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful thing.
Who got the picture?
It was a... Would you let me talk?
Thank you.
Let the lady finish, please. Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
It was a wonderful thing, and my hat goes off to that reporter or that cameraman for taking such a stellar photograph. But that man's job was just to take a picture. His job wasn't like that fireman carrying that poor girl out of there. Their firemen are there to save lives. You guys are there to report the news. And, yes, our hats go off to you for helping aid the firemen and showing them where to go and what to do. Anybody would do that, but you guys have the equipment to go above and beyond that. And we think that's wonderful.
What about Golden Showers?
You guys shouldn't be the ones congratulating your own selves. Let other people do it for you.
Good point.
That's all we're saying.
I think that's a good point, Lynn.
We're not saying that you shouldn't be congratulated, because most absolutely you should.
What do you say
By
to that,
all
Don?
Means, you should be congratulated.
What do you say to that,
but
Don?
But you shouldn't be congratulating yourself. Let me do it. Let me say thank you.
Well, I'd like to say one thing, Linda. The man carrying that little girl, the firefighter carrying the little girl at 9/11, because we got the picture of him, he was a little more intent on doing his job. If there wasn't a photographer there, wouldn't
he
have
picked
her up?
Oh, you are so crazy.
No,
my father-in-law was almost burned to death in a dead-gum trailer fire, and let me tell you, there wasn't any news reporters there. And let me tell you something else. A firefighter that wasn't even on the job heard it on the scanner, got up out of his bed, got his clothes on, came down, and he's the one that pulled him out of the burning house with no
clothes. Because he heard that Channel 11 was on its way, though, right?
No, excuse me, I'm in Arkansas.
All right, no, but did he hear that the local Little Rock affiliate was on its way?
No, he most certainly did not. You have lost your mind.
No, ma'am, our own Frank Aspen, who usually does our sportscast at 5, 6,
and 10. I most absolutely plan on talking to Ms. Governor Davis about this.
Well, ma'am,
and I have a lot of important friends, and I can't believe that you're actually out here on national radio.
Did anybody bring me a donut?
Talk show.
No one brought me a donut.
I've never called into a talk show in my life.
Ma'am, no one.
Tell you.
Ma'am, please don't call Governor Davis. That's not necessary. All I'm saying is that that man who carried that little girl to safety might have dropped her if there hadn't been a cameraman there. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, please.
What
you
the hell?
Mind.
Might have dropped her?
Well, what incentive did he have to save her life if no one's there to take his picture?
Oh, you have lost your mind. I hope he sues you for defamation of character.
All I'm trying to say is, and by the way, if we hadn't have been there, maybe it wouldn't have been Arrowhead burning ground. Maybe Disneyland would have burned down. Maybe downtown Los Angeles. It's that kind of work that makes what we do in the news
business.
You know
what? When your house catches on fire, I hope you don't have to call 911. I hope you put it out with your garden hose. And, mister, I do plan on talking to Governor Davis, and I've got a lot of friends.
You have to hear this. You have to hear this. In some cases, the firefighters make the situation more dangerous for our reporters because we have electric cords attached to the cameras, and they're using water. Thank you.
Excuse me.
Wait a minute.
And also, my hat's off to this radio show guy.
Thank you, sir.
I'm really glad I was able to hear this on the radio.
Well, ma'am, I think what you just said, Don.
Wait a minute. They're endangering the lives of our reporters, but using water when we have electricity around.
Well, then, you reporters need to get out of the way and let those men do their dangerous job that they give their life, heart, and soul for every single day. What about that?
Oh, look at that. So you get to have the last word, huh?
That's right.
Ma'am,
because what's more
our
important...
Our meteorologist...
No.
Let me ask you
what's
something.
More important,
where are
sir?
They? How are they going to fight the fires when Golden Showers isn't there to show them how the wind's blowing in the trees?
Fine, but what's more important, a picture or somebody's life?
And by the way, I think it is really tasteless to have a meteorologist named Golden Showers.
Mr. Henry, I don't know what you're referring to.
You know exactly what I'm referring to.
Well, if you can, so does everybody else. We weren't born last night. This is ludicrous, and yes, I will call the governor. You bet I will.
Let me ask, you're a woman. Do you find it offensive that we have a meteorologist named Golden Showers?
I find it offensive, ludicrous, and totally an abomination that we have somebody like you who actually sits yourself next to a firefighter. If your job
is
more important than the man who gives his entire life dedication to saving the lives of others.
Thank you. Thank you. Now what do you got to say for yourself?
Well, I guess I blew it.
Yeah. You blew it. Do you find it offensive that we have a meteorologist named Golden Showers?
Well, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
And on top of everything else, what do you mean Donna DeCruz actually got to retract the hose?
Well, how do you know what I was referring to?
Yeah. I hope that paternity suit goes south on you too, pal. That's Don Berman, news anchor at Channel 19, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I did the voice there of the character that we were just doing there, Don Berman. That was me, and the people calling believe he's a real guy. So, but, you know, we can explain this ad nauseum. People still don't quite understand the Phil Hendry Show. Hang around for a couple of weeks. You will. We have coming up, by the way, Don Parsley, who is looking for money and support for his family. They need it after getting burned out of their home, but they're too proud to stay in a shelter. And right now, Steve Bozell was on our show yesterday, and he was talking about how the lady at his office got a lot more attention for her burned-out house than he did for his broken leg, and that he won't be able to, with the broken leg, dance with his baby girl at her freshman dance because he's all crippled up.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I wanted to say, I own a computer business in Wichita, Kansas, and I've injured myself more than once on ladder, whatever, set, or my kids trip me, whatever. And I've injured myself, but nothing can compare to losing someone's home and everything they've worked for. There's nothing you can just pop and replace it. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you a question? What if your leg was severed off? What if the leg
severed
was...
off?
Yes, sir.
You know, I've had family members that have had strokes, and that severely injured them for the rest of their life, and they have not complained once about it because they are real men. I grew up in the country, and I brought that with me to my business.
You're right.
I understand if you lose your farm, if you lose your family, if you lose everything that you have worked hard for, that is your life getting burned up. Do you understand what it means to lose your life?
But you're trying to tell me that you don't think a man getting like his leg severed off is as bad, and I think you're wrong.
No, because you're a man.
You didn't get your leg severed off.
All right, can we talk straight?
What?
What if you had your manhood severed off?
Well, it doesn't matter. You're a man.
Oh,
that's what matters. If you're a man, you will stand up, take the pain like a man, and handle it like a man.
Okay.
You will not ask for sympathy like some little woman.
What about the fact that she has insurance? She'll get her house back. I don't have insurance on my leg. If I get gangrene, okay, thanks a lot.
Well, I mean, how much would it take for you to get insurance?
You're an employer. Don't you self-insure?
I have not done that this year, no.
Well, that's stupid as hell. You got to self-insure. You insure your employees, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, what the hell is that about? You insure your employees. You got no insurance.
Look, I promised my daughter, April Jr., that I would escort her to her first school dance, and now I can't dance with my baby daughter because I've been crippled up. Crippled up while the other fathers are dancing.
Good God. Woo! I live with back pain every day because I am disabled. But I still run my business. I still handle my affairs like a real man.
Wait a minute. Are you on disability?
I've got two.
Are you on disability?
No, I am not on disability. I own myself a nice business that makes me well over $500,000 a year doing computers. I don't need to be on disability, and I do have family members that are on it, but they're on it for a good reason.
You know, if you quit your job, there's a bunch of Mexicans that'll take it.
Will you get off that Mexican thing once and for all?
I am not working a job, sir. I own my own business. I don't think you heard that.
Rocky, very good, and congratulations on the success of your business, and thank you for lending some sense to this conversation.
Thank you.
Jesus, do you stick your nose right up the crack of the...
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out here exactly...
You know, my daughter is going to be going to her dance, Mr. Hendry.
I understand that.
My baby girl. I always want to see my baby girl dance at her first freshman dance. And now her daddy can't dance with her. I can't take my baby girl out onto the dance floor because I'm all crippled up. Just like that. The hell of a thing to face man's life when you're all crippled up, can't take a baby girl out on the dance floor there at the gymnasium. I can hear the song right now. Oops, I did it again.
I understand, sir.
Then they'll go over for some drinks, cocktails, or what have you.
At a freshman dance?
Well, you know, Cokes and everything. All I wanted to do is, just on my baby girl's first dance, take her out on the dance floor and hear the song, Lady in Red is Dancing with Me. I'll never be able to hear it.
Hey, Steve, seriously, man.
You know, Mr. Henry, you've been making fun of me for a solid hour.
Well, what do you mean, Lady in Red?
I want to take my baby girl out on the dance floor for the first time in her life. You know, it's one thing you see a little girl, she's all... pigtails and ribbons and all that. She grows up to become a young lady. And then they have the father-daughter dance over at the high school like they always have every year. And I wanted to go over there and dance with her. and dance to that song that we all know so well, the song that we all love. And I got to sit there like a cripple, all crippled up, and I can't get out there and dance to I Just Want to Fly. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There he is. There's Steve, all crippled up. God, is there anything better? You know, I really feel sorry for the generation of American kids that didn't grow up with TV westerns. Because, man, there was some real, real dopey stuff on those shows. You could always fall back on that. Some character saying he was crippled up or hurt bad. Remember those westerns, Jens? I'm crippled up. I'm hurt bad. I'm hurt real bad. You know, and some other guy, you shot me, mister.
You shot me in the belly.
They had a thing about repeating things in those old TV westerns. You know, there's one from The Big Valley. Remember, there's a show called The Big Valley with Heath? And Heath takes his hat off and hits a dog because the dog was barking at him. The guy comes out of the saloon and goes, you hit my dog, mister. That's like hitting me. You know, what the hell? It was great. Oh, those shows were horrible, too. All the set, remember those westerns where, yeah, man, they shot it on a soundstage or something. They threw dirt on the floor, and you saw the saloon was wiggling back and forth because it's made out of cardboard. It was great. But those days are dead, man. And I'll never see my baby girl dancing. And I'll never be able to sing that great song, Lady in Red. What was that other tune that I used to hear it all the time? What was that? Oh, here's the song we should have done. She's faced the hardest times you could imagine, and many times. What was that? Was that band out of Canada, that Wildflower? Yeah, they were. They were Canadians. Let her cry, cause she's a lady. I'm all crippled up. Anyway, I'm sorry, but I had to do it. I'll leave now.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Of course, the dramatic stories coming out of the wildfires of Southern California. I have Dawn on the phone. Right, Dawn?
Yes, sir.
Dawn, can you tell me, you had a home in Cedar Glen, which is one of the neighborhoods that burned around Lake Arrowhead, correct?
Yes, I did.
And I'm sorry, sir, I can't hear you?
Yes, sir, I did.
Now, Dawn, tell me, you have 5 children?
I have 5 beautiful children, yes, sir. I've got 3 girls and 2 boys. I have a lovely wife. My wife is right now suffering from a juvenile diabetes. And we're just trying to get one foot in front of the next after what happened to us last night. I still can't believe it. I mean,
how is the family holding up?
Well, everyone is pretty well devastated. We had put in for our home insurance. There was a glitch in Sacramento. We had not yet gotten our insurance. We have lost our home.
You do not have any insurance on that home?
As it stands today, no, sir, we don't. And
I know you're a little nervous. Janice tells me she was talking to you. Did you and your wife both help build that house?
Yes, we did. My brother is a framer, and we had some friends who were plumbers and electricians, and everybody pitched in. My wife and I laid the carpeting. I helped my brother install the windows. Just about 3 weeks ago, we put the windows in. And
now the house is burned, huh?
There's nothing left of it right now. We had a brick fireplace in the family room. I had a brick fireplace in the living room. And that's the only thing that's standing right now.
I can't imagine what your family's going through right now with 5 children, with a wife. Your wife is not well?
No, she isn't. She's had diabetes. It's a beautiful area. My wife, Carrie, she used to make me happy. I'd see her sitting on that. We had a backyard swing, and she'd have her coffee and enjoy the beauty. We had all kinds of birds. We had robins and blue jays, and the mountains, of course, are very beautiful. And I guess you could say we were looking forward to raising our children there and someday growing old together and retiring there. Now it's gone. And
I understand you had some bad news about one of your daughters, too?
Well, it's good news in that it wasn't more serious. We found out our youngest daughter needs medicine. She has epilepsy.
Buddy, it's all hitting you at once, isn't it? I mean, it's like a nightmare. I mean, we're hearing a lot of stories like this and these horrible stories of loss.
I know, and we're very fortunate to be together. I'm not a charity case, and my father always raised me to be a proud man and to never take charity. And
you bring that up because you mentioned that you will not take your family to a shelter.
No, I will not. No, sir.
Why not?
I think we're a little bit better than that. I would never... I look down on... I never take charity, and I've always looked down my nose on people that take charity. And one of the things I'd never do is live in a shelter and be... they interview on television. I've seen all these people crying on television like you know, little children, and all them people crammed into shelters, and I've got a little bit too much pride for that.
Where are you going to live, Don? If you don't want to take your family to a shelter, and I'm not faulting your decision if that's you don't want to do that, but where are you going to live?
What I'd like to do is we would like to put my family up in a motel for the time being. There's a Ridgeway Motel down on 18.
Now, 18 is the road, the main road between...
Yes, sir. It's between... it'll go between Redlands and Big Bear Lake.
Okay.
And they have large rooms for families there. I just want to put my family there so I can sit and figure out what my next move's going to be. My wife's not feeling well, and I need to get a hospital bed for her.
Now, what about your job? You have a job as a delivery man?
I had a job for a parts, AFCO Parts, yes, sir.
And you quit that job?
I quit it when the fires broke out because I didn't want to be away from my house. And I knew our house was threatened.
So, Don, as I talked to you today, you're without money, you're without shelter, your daughter needs medicine because she's recently diagnosed with epilepsy, your wife needs rest and medicine, you are without money.
Yes, sir.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, my son this morning says, boy, this is hard for me to say, but my son this morning said, Daddy, I'm hungry, and...
Jesus, you don't ever want to hear one of your kids say that.
No, you do not, sir, no.
Well, you got to get some money, and you have to get something going.
Yes, sir.
And what I could contribute, I mean, Janice and Mark and I and Chris, if we could contribute something to a fund maybe we can set up. I mean, if you can take your family to the shelter they have at the San Bernardino Airport, they have beds, they have shampoo, they've got toothbrushes, and I'm sure there are people there who could help you with your wife.
Well, as I said to you, sir, I'll never make my family...
I mean, because they might have doctors.
No, sir, I'll never make my family live in a homeless shelter. I thought about it, and as horrible as it sounds, I think I'd rather... I'd rather drown my children than make them look at themselves in a mirror in a homeless shelter.
You would rather kid your... Sir, we're talking about...
No, sir, that could emotionally cripple them. I just don't want to hear any talk about a shelter. I will not hear any more talk about a shelter.
Why?
Because those people are charity cases. I would rather do myself in.
Well, you're the leader of a family, and they have your family has very urgent needs.
Well, I don't steal, and I don't take charity, sir. Now, if somebody wanted to help my children, I understand that.
Well, let us help you.
Well, if you want to help my children, that's fine.
Can you tell me the names of your kids?
Yes, sir. My kids are Carrie, Annie, and Sally. Those are the three girls, and the two boys are Jim. Or we call them Jimmy and Timothy.
And what is your wife's name?
My wife is Carrie.
Your wife is Carrie? One of your daughters is named after your wife?
Yes, sir.
All right, our crew right here, we're going to put some money together and we'll start the ball rolling, and I'm sure we'll all put in.
I guess that'll be all right.
And how much are the rooms? You want to stay in a motel?
There's the Ridgeway Motel.
How much are the rooms there?
We need two adjoining rooms for a family, and they have something they say is... They say it's a garden view or something, which my wife would like since she doesn't have any our home anymore, and she enjoyed nature. And they have a complimentary continental breakfast, which is free, so the kids could eat.
How much are the rooms?
I've looked at the rooms are $120 a night.
But the shelter is available to you.
But I don't. I'm staying in a shelter. They have all kinds of things there. Rapists.
Rapists? Sir, they have families down in these shelters. You're thinking of these homeless shelters they have downtown. These are families that this is a temporary shelter for people because of the fire.
I understand that.
And you can take the kids there, and you can, instead of putting them in a motel, this is a very expensive for one night.
I understand that, but I have, you know, these people that go to shelters, I just don't want to have any, I don't want to have any part of it. Okay, I'm not a, you know, my kids, no way.
All right, let me give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686. Janice, get on the line with this man. His name is Don Parsley, and he lost his, well, he didn't lose his job, he quit his job, but now he's without money and funding. And I said, take the kids, take the family down to the shelter at the San Bernardino International Airport, and he said he'd rather drown his children than have them live in a homeless shelter. It's not a homeless shelter. It's a temporary emergency shelter for families that are otherwise not homeless. They live in homes. Their homes have been burned down. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Now, the other thing is, he has located a motel near where he is, his home was. His home burned down, I guess, last night in that Cedar Glen fire. And he says that they have a couple of adjoining rooms that they can use. They have one of those complimentary continental breakfasts, which means the kids could eat for free. But they can eat for free at a shelter. And it has a garden view, which his wife loved their home. Apparently, she's very sick. These are all the stories that are coming out of this horrible, horrible tragedy of the California wildfires. 1-800-449-8686. His name is Don Parsley. He's got five kids. They're homeless as the result of the fire, and we're trying to raise some money for him. It's Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Every day is a blessing for us.
All right, I'm back with Don Parsley. Don lost his home last night in the fire in Cedar Glen. You've got five children. They are without shelter. You have no food. We're trying. We're going to put some money together for you, but you've refused to go to a shelter. Now, your wife's name, she has diabetes. What is her name again?
My wife's name, I didn't hear you, Phil. What did you say?
I said, what is your wife's name?
My wife is Elizabeth.
And she has diabetes?
Yes, sir. She does. She has diabetes, yeah.
All right. So don't you think you need to get her to a doctor, and they have them at those shelters?
The problem with those shelters is there's the other kids who live at those shelters would be a bad influence on my kids. And the people that help out at the shelters are usually very old, and my son is afraid of old people for some reason. I don't know.
Now, how many sons do you have?
I have two sons. And
how many children?
And we have four children. So, two sons, and then I would have two daughters.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. You're looking for money to...
Well, I'm not looking for any. You said you'd ask these folks if they had some money, which I said, okay, that'd be all right. But I don't take any charity for myself. I'm just, if they have any money for my kids, I'd go ahead and take that. Just for some milk and some bread, that kind of thing. My wife's is very shy around people, and I don't really care for the food they serve at these shelters. So what we're trying to do is get enough money to maybe, you know, get a car and drive away from here. I hate it here. I'll never come back here.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead, Stephen. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Parsley.
Yeah, these shelters, man. I mean, you know, come on. There's people there that's trying to help. I mean,
I understand that. I'm not trying to, but I just think they're dirty. You know, they have a lot of lice and all that.
Well, I don't know. They have lice.
Keep to yourself, man. I mean, you ain't got to mingle with people. Get your little corner and keep to yourself.
But if we could get money for the motel, you know what I'm saying? This one motel down here on 18, the Ridgeway, they have adjoining rooms with a garden view.
That's nice. I mean, I'd like to take, you know, it's $126 a night, man. I mean, where are you going to get $126 from? I mean,
well,
you know, there's going to be people out there generous to give at least, you know, you some money, but how long are you going to be able to sit there and take that from people? You say you're not looking for handouts.
Yeah, how are you going to get 126 every night?
Well, you're the man. You, Mr. Henry, you said you'd go ahead and find some money.
Well, you said you'd take money for your kids, right?
I guess I said. I don't remember what it was. But can I ask you a question right now, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
The man that's on the phone?
Yeah, this is Steven.
Is he going to give money, or what's he going to do?
I work. I live in Wichita, Kansas.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I work for a hard living. I've got a wife. I've got a 6-month-old daughter. I've got a son that'll be 4 in January.
That's
okay.
Nice. Okay.
And
so,
I know if I was in the situation you were in right now, I would be finding anything I could. Especially my son came up to me and said, "I'm hungry, Daddy."
Oh,
you know,
my
regardless
God.
What it came to,
yeah, that,
I would be going to a shelter. I would be going, you know,
whatever you could
anywhere
do.
I could do to get my boys some food.
Can I say, now that both you guys have given your speeches, are you going to give any money? Or
the man's giving you the benefit of some life experience.
Okay, and I listen to it.
Am I going to give you money? I told you, I'm a dad. I work my butt off each day.
I mean,
you know, you got to take,
I already heard this part.
To do something on your own, okay? How many people have lost their homes? I mean, are they on the phone asking for handouts from everybody? No. My mother's a diabetic.
How much money do you have?
How much money do I have on me right now?
Yes, sir.
Like 26 cents.
Okay, I'll go ahead and take that. Or 26 cents, I said $26.
26 cents in my pocket right now. But
then why did you call up?
All right, look, he's calling up because he wants to give some advice. Listen, Mike, or Stephen, rather, thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. I got Mike on the line here. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, sir.
First of all, I was just wondering one thing. How many kids do you have, really?
Is he talking to me?
He's talking to you, yeah.
How many? I didn't hear your question, sir.
How many kids do you have?
I've got 4.
Oh, because when you were first on the radio, you said you had 5. And you said your wife's name was Carrie the first time.
Well,
and
how come
you're Elizabeth?
What, are you writing a book?
No, I was just wondering what you need the money for. But anyways, I think you should get your priorities straight.
Well,
you know,
first of all, I've gone through losing my home. If you can go through losing your home and remember every tiny little thing that everybody's asking you, then good for you, sir.
Every little tiny thing. Well, I think I'd remember my wife's names or my kids' names.
Well,
but anyways,
you think.
I'm up here in Canada. And I'll send you $10, but it's only worth about $6 back there. How's that?
Is this a joke or something?
I guess he's trying to be facetious. Yeah.
I've got
children and everything, and my wife Karen wants to sit near a garden window.
I think you should get your priorities straight.
Yeah.
And
well,
go out and do something to help your children, and don't, you know.
What are you talking about? I'm trying to get the Garden View room. They've got 2 left.
No. The Garden View room. Take the shelter. It's better. The kids will be able to eat in the morning.
They got everything there, sir. They have.
I'm not taking my kids to a shelter where they've got rapists. And
these are shelters set up for people that have been made homeless by the fire. They're not downtown Mission homeless shelters.
Why can't I just get his kids to the shelter?
If I can get enough money for a car, we can get out of this state, and I'll never come back, and that's a promise.
Well, how much do you need for a car?
Well, I don't. I mean, the Suburban is how much is? It's like $35,000 for an Explorer, or something, or $40,000.
Well, I think if we hold it by maybe a telethon.
What are you talking about? A freaking Suburban or an Explorer, sir?
I'm just saying the way I feel about the state of California. I'd just as soon. I hope I never ever. God, I hate it here. I hope I never hear again.
All right, let me go over to 1-800-449-8686. Maureen, go ahead, Maureen.
I have a problem with this gentleman. First of all, he didn't know how many kids he had.
Yes, I do.
Then he said, first of all, sir, you said, I have 2 sons, so that means I have 2 daughters. You don't know how many you have. I think you're a scam. And I think you're just trying to get money from the public. And really, you don't really need it, because if you really needed it and you cared about your children, you would go to a shelter, because I would go with my 4 kids definitely to a shelter.
Ma'am,
if I was without a home and they didn't have anything to eat. My duty is as a parent is to protect and feed my children.
Ma'am,
not get them a garden view.
My son suffers from a phobia called agoraphobia. He cannot be closed in, and the shelters are closed in. I can't have my boy there.
sir, when there's an emergency, and I'm an emergency nurse, believe me, when you're in an emergency room and there's 300 people in there, you want to be there. And you have to be agoraphobic or whatever you're calling. He's got to be there, because if he's ill, he's going to have to be there. And if he doesn't get fed and he doesn't have shelter, that's where he's going to end up.
Can I ask the host something?
Go ahead.
How long do I have to listen to people until they give money?
Sir, it's not a matter of listening. The lady is calling up.
I listened to everything she said. Is she going to give money or not?
No, I'm not going to give you a cent.
Well, then how come?
You go to a shelter with your kids, protect them, and feed them.
What you need
where
to do.
They're actually giving them.
Yeah.
The government is setting up these shelters.
I'd go there. I'd
people
go.
Who need them.
I'd go.
I went through Andrew, sir, and I had to go to a shelter with my four kids. You know what? My kids are better for it.
See, you would lower yourself. I wouldn't. A hotel is much better for my family. They
You're
have
saying that. What are you saying?
Service?
That I what?
Well, you lowered yourself to a shelter. I don't
I
have to
I did not
it.
Lower myself, sir. I am a proud woman,
well,
a single mother.
You're taking handouts.
Take care of the children.
You're taking handouts at a shelter. I would go to a shelter, but it's not a place for a baby. And we have a newborn. Would you tell me to take a baby to a shelter?
Of course.
Well, okay.
My child was 9 months when Andrew came.
My
so
child.
You can't tell me.
How old is your baby?
What not to do? You know what you need to do? Get yourself into a shelter where your wife can be taken care of. And if you do have those children you say you do, they will be taken care of. And you don't need a garden view. Believe me.
My baby's 3 weeks old. I'm supposed to go.
All right. Hey, good point. Good point, Maureen. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry with Don Parsley. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. one 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
So many tragic stories out of the California wildfires. We're talking to a man who lost his home in the where was your home, Mr. Parsley?
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear you.
Where is your home?
My home, I don't have a home right now.
No, but where was your home?
It was in the lake. You know, I'm just so sick. I'm worried mostly about my children. That's the.
No, but where was the home that burned down?
It was up at Lake Big Bear.
It was at Big Bear Lake?
Yeah.
Okay, and your daughter has been. Who was the one with epilepsy? Was the son?
You know, you're asking me a lot of questions, and I don't know why. I mean, I told you.
I want to know who's the one with epilepsy.
That's my son.
It wasn't the daughter?
I don't know why you are asking a lot of these questions when I have a family.
I'm sorry, sir. If I'm confusing you and I'm upsetting you, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out what are the needs of the family. You don't want to stay in a shelter. You want money for... You said that you wanted it for a car?
We want it for a car, yeah.
You said that you wanted to stay in a motel.
I do want to stay in a motel, but... I'd rather have a car. I would rather have a car, yes. I would rather, instead of a motel, I'd rather have a car.
Because you want to get out of California?
Because we want to, yeah. I mean, the only way to get out is to drive. I don't have any money for a plane ticket. My son has epilepsy. My daughter, also another thing that I forgot to tell you, my daughter, in the fire, she got burned on her legs. And now I have a son with...
Epilepsy?
With epilepsy, my daughter has burns. My son has epilepsy. I forget how it's pronounced.
Epilepsy.
And my wife is also not well. She's not feeling great. And
you said that she's suffering from diabetes. You need medicine for this family. And the only way to get that medicine for a family with no resources at all is to go down to that shelter.
All right, but if I had money, I could buy it too. And you said that I could. A friend of mine told me that you help people out and everything like that. Are you the same guy?
Well, I don't know who your friend said you I was, but I'll help you if I can understand your story, and you have to help me understand why it is you won't go to a shelter. You want money for a car so you can get out of California.
Yeah, why do I want to stay in a shelter when I just want to get out of here? I don't want to stay here one second longer. If I could get the money tonight to buy a car, I'd get everybody in the car and we'll just go. I won't even bother with the shelter. You don't even have to get me money for, you know, anything. I mean...
What about your daughter with the burns? What about the son with the epilepsy? What about the wife with diabetes? Where are you going to get the money for medicine?
I'll buy it at a store. I mean, I understand what you mean.
Well, you don't have the money. You're getting money for a car. How are you going to have money for medicine?
I'm going to ask you if you could get a little extra, we'll get medicine too.
So you're asking my audience for money for a car and medicine?
I don't know how much that is, yeah.
All right, let me go over here to Donna. Donna, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
Steven.
Ma'am.
Listen, you are full of it. You should be ashamed of yourself with all the people who have been made homeless, with all the displaced people out there in California. Here you are calling up with this crap.
No.
You don't have any children.
No, ma'am.
I doubt if you even have a wife.
No, ma'am.
And you don't need money for a hotel. What you need is you need some help. You need some therapy.
No, ma'am. You're wrong.
No, I'm not. First of all, you got all these sick children, and you got this sick wife.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Just stop playing. Because if you really wanted to take care of your family, you wouldn't have quit your job, first of all.
Well, that's because there was the fire.
If you really wanted good for your family, you never would have quit your job. Now you're in the position where you have to ask, and you want to pick and choose how much money you're going to get. You go from needing some shelter to needing a suburban. You don't have a wife. You don't have any children, and you don't have a heart, because there are people who are in dire straits right now, and you're wasting these listeners' time.
Ma'am, I swear to you, all I want to do is get out of San Diego County. Now, we're burned out.
Where's your wife? Where's your wife right now?
She's in the living room. I mean, not in the living room, because our home is burned out.
What living room do you have? I thought you were home.
I don't have a living room. I don't have a living room. She's sitting in our car. She's sitting in our car.
Oh, but all of a sudden you thought it was a living room. You see what I'm saying? You're a liar. I know you're a liar, and I believe that our good host here is humoring you, because he has to know you're a liar.
Well, there's inconsistent. First of all, I understand how your wife loved the beautiful mountains of Arrowhead. It's a beautiful place. But why would you say you're in a living room, and now somebody got burned?
Yeah, we had a big fire. Why is that so unusual? I really resent you asking me about that. Of course you got burned. We had a fire. You will get burned if you're around a fire. My family's lived in San Diego. Well, I was in San Diego County.
Oh, that's so you get tripped up, Parsley.
See, wait a minute. Are you in Arrowhead or are you in San Diego County?
I'm in San Diego County now because I got out of Arrowhead. I didn't want to be there no more.
And your wife's sitting in a car, and what phone are you using?
I'm at a payphone.
At a payphone? Where are the kids?
She needs a car. I thought you needed a car.
I do. The car I got's no good. I mean, it won't even get maybe 2 months.
Okay,
so you're making fun of a man. I hope like your life, man.
You're a liar. You are a liar.
My wife is burned and everything.
Your wife is
burned and his child is burned.
Yes. Are you living in California? Do you know we had fires here? Hello?
You're a liar. You're a liar. You should be ashamed of yourself.
What am I lying about?
You really should be ashamed of yourself. You're lying. First of all, I don't even know if your name is Stephen Parsley.
My name's Don Parsley. See, you can't even get my name right. My name's Don.
But I hope some law enforcement agent is listening to this call, because this is fraud.
How much money?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
If you can give me some money, I'll get out of state and I'll never bother you again.
You know what? I want to give you a wing and a prayer. That's what I'm going to give you. You need some help, mister.
My twin newborns, I had to help out of an upstairs window. Well,
first you had one newborn. Now it's twins. What's the birthday?
Mr. Parsley, do you have twins?
I told you I had twins. They're 3 weeks old. What's the birthday? They're 3 weeks old.
What is the exact date? No, what's the date? And what hospital were they born in?
At the downtown hospital.
What's the name of it? What's the maternity ward? Every maternity ward has a name. What's the name of that maternity ward?
It's the St. Peter's Maternity Ward.
Now tell me the date. Every man knows, and just 3 weeks ago, but tell me the exact date.
October 3rd.
Did you have to think about that?
No, I don't have to.
Of course.
No, I'm
going to call St. Peter's. I want to call St. Peter's and find out if there were Parsley twins born there.
Ma'am,
You see?
Okay, and if there are you going to give me money then? Okay.
You're right.
They were born on July. First of all,
if there were Parsley twins born, yes, I will spend $100.
Ma'am, first of all, no, they were not born in October. I misunderstood your question. You asked me when they were born.
You repeated my question. You didn't misunderstand it. You repeated it.
When were your kids?
You're trying to get it straight.
When were your kids born?
They were born on July 26th.
That's not 3 weeks.
That's not 3 weeks ago.
It's 3 months. I misunderstood.
You told me a half hour ago that you had one baby that was 3 weeks old. Now you got twins that are 3 months old, and you pulled them out of a burning second floor window.
Oh, so in other words, I'm supposed to let my kids die?
No, you're not supposed to let
you. You're a liar. You need some help, man. Oh, my gosh. You need so much help. It's ridiculous.
Okay, now that I listen to everything you've said, do you have money or...
You haven't proven to me. You haven't proven anything.
And I've had to listen to you caterwauling, and you won't even give me any money.
You're absolutely right, because you have to listen to more than that. You really should go to jail for that. There's no telling how many people you've defrauded.
Well, you know something, Mr. Parsley? You won't take your family to a shelter where your children are burned, your wife has diabetes, a kid's got epilepsy and agoraphobia.
Yeah, right?
He's got...
Oh, so now you're laughing at my children.
I'm laughing at you. You're a joke. And it's not agoraphobia, it's claustrophobia. You big dummy. You aren't even smart enough to keep your
life that when you, I hope that when St. Peter looks you in the eye, you can look
at
him.
You ought to be... I hope you're looking in the mirror saying that.
When the good Lord meets you on the other side...
I'm telling you, you should be stricken down right now.
Do you know how hard it is to be a man who only has one leg?
Terrible.
Now you only have one leg.
I told you I only had one leg.
No, you didn't tell me you only had one leg.
You are a liar.
No, now you're lying. Now you're lying, because I know I told you I had one leg.
No, you didn't.
I haven't heard it. I didn't hear it. I've been listening to the show.
Okay, see? So she doesn't even know. She's calling me a liar, but she didn't even listen to the show.
I said, I've been listening to the show. I've been listening to the show since you appeared.
I have one leg.
You got one leg, huh? And how did you lose the leg?
At the Gulf War.
Now you're a war veteran.
All right, if you want to make fun of me.
Okay, what VA hospital do you go to get your prosthetic limb?
I'm sorry?
What VA hospital did you go to get a prosthetic limb?
I do not have that.
Don't have what?
What you said.
Every wounded veteran knows what a prosthetic limb is. What are you walking around, man, on a peg leg?
Okay, make fun of our veterans. Go ahead.
Sir, I'm not making... All right, Donna, listen, thank you for your call. I ain't making fun of our veterans. I'm asking you a question. Peggy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I have a question for the gentleman. Did you, in your home or for your home, do you have a loan on that home with a mortgage company? Or did you pay cash for that home that you've lost?
My brother helped build it.
Okay, but in order to build it, you would have had to gotten some money. Where did you get the money to build it? Did you get it from a bank or from a mortgage company?
No, we made some money. We were selling, what we used to do is we sold disco dance floors. My brother would design them, and I would install them and sell them.
Okay, so the money came there.
What?
The money came from there. You didn't get a loan on your house.
No, ma'am.
You did not have a mortgage on your house?
No, ma'am.
So you paid cash for it?
Yes, ma'am. I paid my brother off, and I paid off... we had two subcontractors working on it, too. I helped install the carpeting.
Well, I don't care about the carpeting. Because if you'd have a loan on the house, you would be required to have insurance.
Yeah,
At the beginning of the program, you said you didn't have insurance on that house, and you were trying to get it, and you just didn't get it. First of all, it doesn't take that long to get insurance. You can get insurance in 2 days if everything is correct.
Well, they wouldn't get it
to me. I've been listening to you since the show started. First of all, you said you had three children, three girls and two boys, and now you've got two boys and two girls. You said your daughter had epilepsy. Now your son has epilepsy. Your wife has diabetes. What type of diabetes does she have?
She's got diabetes. I don't know. They never told me.
What type of diabetes does she have?
They didn't say.
What do you mean they didn't say?
What do you mean they did? She knows exactly what type of diabetes she's got. There's two types of diabetes. What type does she have?
She has one of them. I know that. The doctor didn't. She has breast. I think it's in the breast.
Doc, you don't get diabetes in the breast.
All I want to do is move from San Francisco to Montana with my family, and I'll be out of everybody's hair.
Okay.
Now you want to leave San Francisco.
If your wife has diabetes and she's been burned, you need to get her to the hospital.
Yes.
Because infections can set in very quickly on a diabetic. Okay, and for your information, the 2 diabetes is juvenile diabetes,
that's
which
the
is
one.
Very serious.
That's the one.
And type 2.
That's the one.
Okay.
Juvenile.
If she has had juvenile, that means she's been a diabetic ever since she's a child, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You need to
get her to the hospital if she has been burned, and you need to get your daughter to the hospital.
I will. I want to, but I need
the
money to pay the doctor.
You said you have a car.
But I don't have the money to pay the doctor. That's why I'm on the talk radio show.
No.
All right. Go to the doctor. It's an emergency, and they will help you. Thank you very much, Peggy.
You think I'm full of crap, too, don't you?
What do you mean, breast diabetes?
Well, that's what I thought she had. I don't know.
Yeah, the doctor didn't say, did he? Is that a bowling alley I hear?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're in a bowling alley while you're asking for money to get out of San Diego, Arrowhead, or San Francisco. I forget which.
All right. If you want to make the...
No. And then you need money for your 5. No, make that for your 4 kids. And then you need money for the son. Nope. The daughter who's got epilepsy and a burn. And your wife, well, she's got breast diabetes. So you want to get some money to A, live at a Marriott Courtyard with the garden view, or B, buy a Ford Explorer.
I didn't hear you. I had to pick up a spare.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Where are you right now?
What'd you say?
Where are you right now?
I'm in upstate New York. I mean, I'm not in it.
All right, Don, thank you very much. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, that guy is so full of crap, his eyes are a deep, dark, rich brown. Yeah, my wife's got breast diabetes. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
The voice there of Don Parsley was actually me. No, he's not a real guy. And of course, the people who called were individuals who were not prompted, not paid, not set up. They were real calls, and probably because there's going to be a lot of cons coming on now after this fire. A lot of cons coming on, and I shouldn't say after the fire. We've still got guys out on the fire line. They're still battling these wildfires, and they're not done yet. Now, they've contained the Stevenson Ranch fire, and they've pretty much, I believe, are beginning to get the upper hand on the San Diego fire. I heard that the town of Julian is safe. They've ringed the town of Julian with fire trucks, with fire units to protect the city, or to protect that little village. And things are looking good, and it has cooled off here in California today. The last month, literally, this is the hottest October that I can remember in this state. It was 100 degree days. I know sometimes it can be hot in the fall. It can even be hot in the wintertime here. But I never remembered quite the heat of an October like this one. And that, brother, that just led to and lent to these fires. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is there's going to be a lot of scam artists, just like down in South Florida after Hurricane Andrew, and just like after every hurricane and tornado. Some cat coming along want to sell you plywood for $100 a sheet or bottled water for $50 a gallon. You know what? Don't let them get away with it. And I don't think it'll be that bad because, you know, there's an abundance of things and supplies here in California. Thank God for that. And building material, you know, that insurance work up there, there's going to be a lot. And I hate to put it in these terms, but let me just say something, if there's at all silver linings that can be attached to any of these conversations, there's going to be a hell of a lot of insurance work, and there's going to be a hell of a lot of guys that are going to be put to work doing that insurance work, and that ain't bad. It's bad that they're doing it at this time that people lost their homes, but you need to understand, those of you who don't, insurance repair, insurance construction is a big business. And the companies, the insurance companies, need to go to these companies, and there are companies that do that kind of work, and it's not dishonorable work; it's great work, as a matter of fact. I got a friend of mine who does it, and it's a very profitable business, and it does employ a lot of people. And if those homes are insured, then they will be rebuilt, and that's cool too. Hey, look at this: the latest Harry Potter book. What's this one about? Oh, this is the one where he's swallowed up by a huge fire and he's never seen again. That's out. The new Harry Potter book coming up. Best of CD on the Phil Hendry website, Best of 2003 CD. Check it out. You can pre-order it. Death of Talk Radio. Pre-order it now on our website. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.